Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey shares his thoughts and reflections on this week's gospel, as well as other issues and events happening in the diocese.
We welcome you to Our Shepherd's View. I am Jesse DeLeon, here with the Most Reverend Bishop Michael Mulvey, on this Feast of the Exaltation of the Holy Cross. Good morning, Bishop. How are you this morning?
I'm very well. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
I hope you. We're getting ready for fall, I guess, and we're kind of at that point.
Well, I'm ready, but definitely still hot out there.
It is.
Never too early to start thinking about the fall season. Maybe getting those pumpkins ready.
Right, exactly.
Well, our gospel today is from St. John, so if you would now proclaim that for us, Bishop.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to Nicodemus, "No one has gone up to heaven except the one who has come down from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Bishop, if you excuse my lapse in memory here, I do not recall celebrating the Exaltation of the Holy Cross a year ago on Sunday.
Yes, I will excuse that. Well, you're right, though. We'll do it again on Sunday in 7 years. It's one of those very special days that comes every year, but it moves with the calendar. So next year it'll be on Monday, and then Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So it'll come back around on Sunday. But when it appears on a Sunday, the ordinary time, which I think would be the 24th Sunday of ordinary time, ceases, and this takes precedent because it is a very important celebration for us. In reality, not just a celebration, but the reality of the cross. The Holy Cross is extremely important for the Christian life. So that's why it is given precedence on Sunday when it appears on a Sunday.
And while it is considered a feast day, it is not a holy day of obligation.
And well, yes, no, right, exactly. It's not a holy day of obligation, but when it appears on a Sunday, it's given precedence so that at least every 7 years, you might say, for those who are not able to attend Mass every day, that we have that sense of the importance of the cross in the life of the Christian.
So in this exchange with Nicodemus, Jesus is talking about a truth that to enter the kingdom of God, one has to be reborn of water and the Spirit. So we hear this very interesting exchange, this very compelling dialogue that Jesus had with Nicodemus.
Yes, it certainly is. And you know, there's a lot of symbolism here. There's a lot of teaching here that I think it's interesting that when you look at John 3:16, which you probably have seen in football games, basketball tournaments, and everything else on placards, people holding it up, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son," period. Well, that's the danger when we just pick out a sentence, one sentence, and we don't put it in the context of everything that is said here. And so I want to bring that to our attention today, that whenever we read the scriptures, we certainly can focus on that one sentence, which is incredibly central and powerful, that God so loved the world that he sent his Son, but not to forget what was said before and forget what is said after. So the whole thing, we have to take the whole context of that. It's too easy for us to, you know, even when we do the Word of Life, for example, we pick out one sentence, but we read the whole context. We read the commentary on what's being said here. So we can go back a little bit now and look that no one has gone up to heaven except the one who has come down from heaven, the Son of Man. And so this coming and going, this is the God's mercy and love of sending his Son and glorifying him, bringing him back to himself, to live again within the life of the Trinity. And so, as it says, just as or as Jesus said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert. Well, we remember the story as the Israelites were traveling through Sinai and approaching, the Promised Land. Of course, there were different tests that they went through, and complaining that there's no water, there's no food, and so they were surrounded by serpents, snakes, and. They were bitten, and some died or killed in the desert. And so the Lord instructed Moses to make a serpent, which he did of bronze, and put it on a pole, a stake, and to lift it up, and that anyone who looked upon that snake would be healed if they had been bitten by a snake. And so this is what Jesus is referring to as the Son of Man, in the same way as lifted up on a cross, that those who look upon him with faith and who take up their cross will be healed, will have eternal life. So what does it mean Jesus is lifted up? Jesus was lifted up, in especially in John's gospel. You cannot separate Jesus being lifted up on the cross without also being lifted up in glory. Because for St. John, Jesus' glory was the cross. That this was his moment of glory. This was the moment of salvation. This was the moment when God manifested his extreme love, his perfect love for us. Anyone that wants to show their love for anyone else will go to the extreme. The extreme here is that God gave his Son, who gave his life, and of course then we can carry it, who gave us the Eucharist, who gave his life on the cross, and who returned to the Father in heaven. So this continual giving of oneself. So when Jesus speaks of himself, is that so must the Son of Man be lifted up as a sign of the cross. And remember, we're celebrating the feast of the exaltation of the Holy Cross. So he's lifted up for our salvation on the cross, but also in that lifted up in glory, so that those who believe in him, those who embrace him and his love for us, shown in the glory of the cross, have eternal life. And this is because it is the love of God. You know, it's not the love of suffering. That's too often when we see the cross, people see only suffering. It's what's on the cross is love. And this is why it's the exaltation, the lifting up, the bringing to our attention of God's glory through his own death on the cross, but also his great glory, which is eternal life for us.
And doing a little background for this, Bishop, I read that final part of the gospel that focused on the divine motivation for the incarnation, which was extravagant love. It went on to say that God did not become human for the purpose of judgment and condemnation, though we can condemn ourselves when we refuse the gift of ultimate love which God offers us. But God sent his one and only Son so that the world might be saved through him.
Right. And you know, the word extravagant, all these, there's such rich words, but none of them ever can. Capture the true meaning of God's love. We try through these beautiful, rich words like extravagant, endless love. But God is love. And the problem today and is always has been is the distortion of the word love, the reality of love, through the entering of eros, which is the human dimension of love. Which is certainly part of the other, but that God's love is a pure love. It's an extreme love. It's an extravagant love. It's a dedicated, not just dedicated, it's a committed love. And all of that shown in the one who came from heaven, who was given by God, that God so loved the world that he gave his only son, the most precious gift that he had. He went to that extreme and extravagance to send his son to us. And so this is the ultimate meaning of love. And so whenever we are talking about love in the Christian sense, we always have to refer to this, to the cross. It's like we cannot not. It's a double negative, which is a positive. We cannot not talk about the cross. We have to. St. Paul, again, you know, we pick out our special and favorite passages of St. Paul or anybody else, but look at the life of St. Paul and look at what he said about the cross. He said, I've come to preach nothing but Christ and him crucified, because he understood that that was the extreme and extravagant love of God for us. That was the moment of glory. And so I can't talk about anything but that very reality of the cross of Jesus Christ. He said, I've been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So you can't be a Christian without the cross. There is no way to be a Christian at any time, whether past, present, or future, without the cross, because that's where God's glory is manifested, his love is manifested, and that's where Christ's victory is truly there. And this is eternal life. This is the road to eternal life. So it means that I think a few weeks ago, back in August, I spoke of faith as every act of faith is a renunciation of self, of denying self, which is the first condition of discipleship. But the second one is to take up your cross. So it's not just to look at the cross hanging on the wall, but to be that living cross in our own life, to take up our own crosses, which can be huge sometimes, but to let them be transformed by the love of God, that we unite our cross to his, and God never gives us more than we can bear.
And not to think of it, as you said, for all just pain and suffering.
Right.
You put the love into
it. It's the way to love, yeah.
And I think of the term unconditional love.
Sure.
As you were talking about the different types of love. Thank you, Bishop. We are going to take a short break, and when we return, we will continue our conversation. You are listening to Our Shepherd's View. Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. This Sunday is the Feast of the Exaltation of the Holy Cross. I am Jesse DeLeon, here with the Most Reverend Bishop Michael Mulvey. And we continue our conversation now. We were looking into the Catechism, section 679, and there's an interesting comment about the cross, and it said, to quote it, it said, Christ is Lord of eternal life, full right to pass definitive judgment on the works and hearts of men, belong to him as Redeemer of the Word. He acquired this right by his cross. The Father has given all judgment to the Son, yet the Son did not come to judge, but to save and to give the life he has in himself.
Well, yes. I think just the word eternal life, you know, that it is gift. But I think it's something we certainly don't talk about enough. We live in a religious atmosphere that somehow is very human, in the sense that we are always trying to make ourselves better. And yet, in just focusing only on that part of life and what is here and now, we forget about eternal life. And only Christ can give us that. And the cross is the means, is the way that eternal life is opened up for us, because God gave his Son to us not to condemn the world, but to save it and to bring it to that fullness of life. What is eternal life? And it's amazing to me, and I guess it shouldn't be amazing to me, but because death is involved, whether it is spiritual death or whether it is actually physical death, but there's a death process that is involved in arriving at more life. And let me explain that, because even there's a death process in arriving at more life here, even on earth, which I mean spiritual life. Unless the death of the ego, the death of selfishness, the death of judgment, the death of all those things that that create barriers inside of us. If we die to all of that, if we die to our personal egos, our personal narrow-mindedness, or whatever it is, when we die to that, we find more life. We find a broader sense and a more beautiful and depth of life than we had before. And that can be experienced here. I mean, the lives of the saints, the lives of people who have stood up for very noble causes in the world. It's a kind of a death to that ego, of that self-centeredness, to discover more, even in this life. So you can imagine then, if you transfer that to our actual physical death here on this earth, that if we have experienced the beauty of God, the beauty of life, the beauty of peace, the beauty of joy, won't there be more of that in eternal life? So it is not something, a negative of wanting to let go, of not wanting to let go of this life because I don't know what's there. Well, if it's here, then it's got to be more of it there.
Right.
This past summer, I had the joy of being in the Dolomite Mountains in northern Italy with a group of numerous bishops. And spent a day and we were just walking. And I said, can you imagine? I said, if heaven is anything, I want to be here. You know, if the beauty of nature, the beauty of mountains, the beauty of the ocean, if it's beautiful to us now, then eternal beauty is more and better of this, more than this. And this is what Jesus came to give us, not to take away anything, but it's that fear that's a part of all of our lives, whether it's a fear of personal spiritual death or death of the ego. I don't want to give up my way of being the way I am, but because I don't know what I can be. And this is the lack of growth. I don't know what God wants of me. And so I'd rather stay where I am. And it's the same with eternal life. I don't want to die, but we all die. If we only realize that it's more than of the beauty that we have now. If God is beauty and we see beauty here, then don't we know that eternal life is more than what we have here? This is what Christ came to open up for us and to give us. And then we are ready, more ready, I should say, and prepared to prepare for that eternal life. And it's something, you know, I hope I'm not misunderstood, that we should long for. We should long for. And in fact, in that mountain little experience I had this summer, it just was a moment of prayer and really longing for this kind of beauty, which also happens just looking out over the bay sometimes here in Corpus Christi. You know, you see a dolphin jumping through the water and you see the calmness of the water and you just go, you just want more. You want more. So you, in many of the lives of Christians throughout the centuries, have spoken to us of this longing, this desire for eternal life. Not that we want to, you know, in a morbid way, I want to die to get there, but that will happen when it happens. But I want this. This is what I want. I want beauty. I want peace. I want joy, and I want more of it. That's which means I want God. And that's what eternal life is to want God. That's why Jesus, his last words are, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. I give it to you, because in you is everything. And that is the eternal life. And that's what this feast of the Exaltation of the Holy Cross really wants to bring to us, is that through the crosses of life, these should not deter us from faith. They should draw us deeper in, because Jesus has conquered the evils of the world through his own cross. He has conquered death through his own cross. And so to arrive to that more, we go through the cross. We march through life with the cross, with our hearts set on the eternal.
You know, Bishop, as a pastor, and you probably still, to some extent, act in that role. Now you've been with several people that are maybe dying, and you're praying for them. And when you talk to people, they say that they're not afraid of dying they're the ones that had the death of self probably and thought of their lives and were just opening up to God.
Yeah, I'm thinking of a couple of people that I've stood with, my own grandmother being one, but instead of speaking of her, I'll speak of another woman that I was, the family called me and we were in the room together, and but a woman who was so giving, so loving, grandmother, great-grandmother, at peace, joyful, happy, and you know, I'm ready to go. This thing of I'm ready, I want to go when God tells me. But also, you know, to hear the family say, "Mother, go, go." I mean, there's a reconciled existence there that God exists, because I can say, go to your Maker, go to your God, go to the one who loves you. On the other hand, you know, God is saying, come. And when that kind of invitation is there, and when that kind of sending off is there, it's such a peaceful and beautiful, and even humorous. So this one lady, she, as many people do, she'd stop breathing and everybody go, and then she would start breathing again. And after a few, we all started laughing at her, and we were all praying the rosary. But anyway, but it was a beautiful moment, and it can be a beautiful moment, eternal life. I do want to go just treat for a moment of the time we have left on that last sentence. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. And I think it goes back to your last question there, is that God knows us. We're persons to God. We're his children. And that we should know him. And that's when the fear goes away. I had a little analogy that I wanted to bring up, because this summer a lot of happens on an airplane. I was on an airplane and there were a bunch of children when I was there. And, you know, I'll be honest, when you're kind of in those tight quarters and you don't know who these people are and the kid, you're kind of thoughtful, you know, rein your children in, or, you know, stop playing your little game so loud, or, because I didn't know them. On the other hand, the parents know them. And they're so gentle with them. They're so compassionate. They're loving. They're forgiving. And it was just as I kind of thought of my own, you know, kind of reaction, as St. Paul would say, the old person in me, spiritually old man, you know, with my own faults and weaknesses. But this is because I don't know them. And that's the analogy of God with us. God is compassionate and loving. The Son did not come, Jesus did not come to condemn the world, because he knows us. He came to know us. We judge, we punish, we condemn, we gossip, because we do not know the person. How many times we've been humiliated by making a false judgment, and then coming to know the person, we realize how wrong we were. Is really the whole message here with the exaltation of the cross and this particular Gospel of St. John. God so loved the world, he knew the world, he knows each person, that he gave his Son, who could redeem us, who could not condemn us, could not judge us, but wanted to save us. When we don't know someone, or when we don't know God, when we don't know Christ, we're fearful, and we do judge, we complain, we et cetera, et cetera. It's all in relationship with God and relationship with one another. Before you want to condemn someone, get to know them. Before you want to judge them, go talk to them. Before you gossip about them, find out who they are. Because if you do, if I do, our reaction, our response will be much different. And that's because of our faith in a God who did not come to condemn us, but came to love us.
Thank you, Bishop. As always, we appreciate your insight and the time you've given us today on this Feast of the Exaltation of the Holy Cross. If you would now close our program with a prayer and a blessing.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son, whom you have sent to us to redeem us and give us life here and life eternal. Bless us as we walk through this life, embracing the crosses that are in our path, so that we may have the joy of serving and loving you and ultimately to live with you in eternity. And we ask this through Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. Our Shepherd's View is a production of 89.5 KLUX and the Diocese of Corpus Christi's Office of Communications and Public Relations. You can hear the podcast of this program at goccn.org. Thank you for listening.